are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
4 seconds left. He's got the ball. He should have it. Isaiah hangs on the ball, flips it up to the Raptors. Detroit is the city of champions again.
Detroit basketball.
What up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, March the 27th, and setting the field for the Locked On Pistons bracket. This is your boy, Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering the NBA for the Detroit News and Associated Press and also PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thanks for the listen. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Today we're going to pass along kind of some sad news and some call-to-action news for the Locked On Pistons podcast for a fellow freelance sports journalist here in the Detroit area. So I'm going to talk about that, and maybe you've heard about it from the Twitters already on Thursday. But we're also going to talk to Austin. He is our guest helper today. We are setting the 64-person field for the most influential Pistons figure in history. That's right, we're going to go through all 64 names today. There were 44 no-brainers that we agreed on, didn't have to discuss further, but we filled the final 20 spots. Up next, I'm looking for more people to help out, seeding them, and then deciding who wins. So we're going to do this a multi-part series over several weeks here into this abyss of time that we have. So the next episode where we capture this contest, we will seed the top 32 of them into regions with the 1 through 8 seeded, and then we'll throw the next 32 randomly into matchups with them for the first round. So that's how we're going to handle the bracket contest. So if you are interested in helping out with the bracket contest, get in touch with me. Send me an email at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com. I will share the field of 64 over the weekend on Twitter, and you can find that at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and that's another underscore for that, and also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook, by the way, at Locked On Pistons - Matt Shook. But I guess, you know, the good news and bad news from the medical world of the Detroit Pistons family, as Christian Wood has been cleared of coronavirus. He went through the quarantine, went through his system in a couple weeks, and had, I believe, two straight tests of negative for the coronavirus. So that's a good thing there for him. But the bad news is, when thinking about people involved with the Detroit Pistons, is that a local freelance cameraman who was working that Utah Jazz game on March 7th, one that I was working too as a freelancer, by the way, has tested positive for COVID-19 and is also in a medically induced coma at a local hospital. This was reported first by Dan Wetzel and Vinny Goodwill, a Detroiter at Yahoo Sports. Man, it's just really sad to hear about that because, of course, Christian Wood's getting all the great care and is a young, healthy guy, but apparently this guy is in his 50s. I don't know who he is. I know the faces of many of the freelance cameramen that work the locker rooms. I have an idea in my head of who this might be when thinking about the way that some of these guys look and judging by the fact that this guy is in his 50s. But I could be wrong. Not important, obviously. Another fellow freelance worker for Fox Sports Detroit, Mike Abdella, set up a GoFundMe account. Hopefully you guys have seen this and contributed, or at least considered contributed. I'm looking at it right now. The GoFundMe account has raised nearly $11,000, and there was a $10,000 goal set up already. 178 donors going to that. I'll put up the link on the Locked On Pistons account early on Friday. And it said, from Michael, without giving my good friend's name away, I'm setting up a relief fund to help him with any lingering bills that will come from this possible deadly virus in this unprecedented time. Thank you. Any extra money raised from these donations, besides keeping our friend comfortable and healthy, will be given to surrounding food banks and to flintkids.org. Please read and consider donating. So a sad situation, and hopefully, you know, we're hoping for the best for this freelance cameraman for Fox Sports Detroit. And of course, it's all getting settled right now. What's going to happen with some of the freelance workers out there? And I had heard that Fox Sports Detroit is giving advance loans of $2,500 to some of the workers who were going to work some of those games. And that, you know, hopefully that helps things out a little bit and that can all be taken care of in time, as a lot of people are out a lot of money and a lot of things, and obviously health being the number one factor, but the times are tough financially for myself and a lot of you guys out there. So if you are one of these people that are fortunate to have a little extra money in a tough time, this would be a good use for that, as we have a sports freelance cameraman contracted coronavirus. That is the headline on the GoFundMe piece. But again, I'll put up a link on the Locked On Pistons page. But up next, we're going to try to change the tone around a little bit here and talk to listener Austin Tripp, who helped set the field of 64 for the most influential Pistons figures in history contest, like what we're going to be doing over this next extended period of time. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But hey, I know you might have a little bit of extra time here, but maybe not as much as you might hope. So let me tell you about the most useful app on my phone. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There's an incredible app out there that solves this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information, from thousands of nonfiction books and condenses them into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get to the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library from self-help, business, health, to history books. Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read, but you never had time to. I've read these books, or listened to, whatever you prefer, and I highly recommend you check them out. I've sucked out The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. Easy to blow through that, especially when he's talking about being more efficient with your time throughout the week as well. And that's the Tiger Woods book by James Benedict is also out there as well. Some must-see and must-listen-to features on Blinkist. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA, try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, again, BLINKIST.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
Yes, sir!
All right, and now we're being joined by Austin Tripp. This is the start of a several-part series. We're going to figure out the most influential Pistons players, coaches, front office, anyone involved with the Pistons organization. And today we're going to be picking who is going to be in the 64-person field. But first, let's talk to Austin. He was one of the guys who sent in a list for me. Really appreciate it. He had a great list. And so, Austin, thanks for joining us here on the Locked On Pistons podcast.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Yeah, so tell us the short version of your story with Pistons fandom. How old a guy are you, and who are some of your favorite memories and how you became a fan and all that stuff?
Yeah, so I'm 22 years old. I'm a student at University of Michigan Flint. I've been a fan of the podcast for about a year and a half now, but somewhat of a recent Pistons fan in terms of more than just the surface. Oh, who's on the team these days, or like how successful they're doing. But both of my uncles on my mom's side are really big sports fans, especially with the Tigers and the Pistons. And I can remember going back and them talking about the Bad Boys and then talking about going to work era and then the two championship runs that they had, well, the run back in the 80s and 90s and then back in 04. But obviously, I was only like 6 or 7 years old at the time when the Pistons won it back in 04. But kind of coming forward, coming up through high school and kind of to now is where I really started to kind of dive into like NBA news and kind of player movement, stuff like that, and then really settling in on the Pistons themselves and getting a little bit deeper dive into them and their history.
Yeah, because and now, obviously, what we want to do is try to figure out how to get this team back to prominence. So you look around the league and try to find other contracts and trades and possibilities and all that stuff that we go over here on the podcast kind of day in and day out. And Austin sent in a list, and being 22 years old, a good decade and a half younger than me, what I like and respected most about his list is he goes back deep. He talked about getting to know the history. And I think, you know, on the surface, like we'll kind of admit this right now, this is going to be something that has a lot of recency bias. And I think we can all kind of understand that. Austin, even younger than me, and me not being someone who remembers much at all, really, before the Bad Boys era. So, you know, there's a little bit of inherent bias. Apologies to the Pistons figures of the 70s, 60s, and the Fort Wayne Pistons beyond. But obviously, we do need to have some of those old-timers on this list, too. So, again, kudos to Austin for coming up with a lot of kind of the old-timers and probably going through Basketball Reference and looking at the Hall of Fame lists and all that stuff. So good job there. But I guess let's get the easy part out of the way. All we're doing today is picking the 64 people in the bracket. We're not doing matchups. We'll do that in future weeks. But so when Austin sent in a list, I had some other lists that I cross-referenced as well. My brother Scott sent in a list. I did my own. I came up with 44 of the 64 that everyone had on there. They're no-brainers. And we don't have to discuss those guys because we'll discuss them more in depth as the tournament kind of goes on to figure out the most influential Piston figure of all time. So I'll run off those real quick here in alphabetical order from last name. It's Mike Abdenauer, it's Mark Aguirre, Chauncey Billups, Dave Bing, George Blaha, Larry Brown, Rick Carlisle, Michael Curry, Chuck Daly, Adrian Dantley, Bill Davidson, Dave DeBuscher, Andre Drummond, Joe Dumars, James Buddha Edwards, Larry Faust, Tom Gorris, Blake Griffin, Rip Hamilton, Grant Hill, Alan Houston, Bailey Howell, Lindsey Hunter, Vinnie Johnson, Bill Laimbeer, Bob Lanier, Rick Mahorn, Mason, Jack McCloskey, Antonio McDice, Darko Milicic, Terry Mills, Greg Monroe, Tayshaun Prince, Dennis Rodman, John Sally, Jerry Stackhouse, Isaiah Thomas, Kelly Trepuka, Stan Van Gundy, Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, George Yardley, Fred Zollner. That's 44. Those are kind of the, I don't know, no-brainers. Is there anyone from that list, Austin, that stood out to you as I read those or as you kind of read those over that were like, maybe not quite a no-brainer? Or are you pretty good with that?
I really like this list. And technically, if this is a tournament or a bracket, for that matter, talking about who's the most influential Detroit Piston, I think one that really stood out to me, and he was the first person on the list that I sent to you, it's Fred Zollner. And he was the one who actually brought the Fort Wayne Pistons to Detroit. So on that super ground concrete level, he is the most influential Detroit Piston, if that makes sense. And that's one of the things that stood out to me when I was making my list.
Yeah, that's a great point. And so Zollner, you know, we'll take that into account. And I think next week we'll do seedings with another one of the guests to join us. Names that stood out to me as like, is that guy certainly a no-brainer? Greg Monroe, and also maybe Kelly Trepuka as guys who, you know, were with the team for a while. Trepuka put up huge numbers. Greg Monroe had an individual nice run for the Pistons. I'm going to leave him on the list. I'm not trying to say we should take him off. But as far as like being in that group of no-brainers, to me, they were just like, I guess so. But we'll leave him on. And since Austin did a great job putting his list together and helping us out today, I'm going to let him do the honors. We got 20 spots left of the 64 to fill right now with the kind of honorable mentions. We'll go through a bunch of names and talk it out. But I'm going to let Austin do the honors of, since he was good enough to do this for us, I'm going to give him 5 spots right now where he can name 5 more, and I don't get to veto any of those. So what do you got for us, Austin?
All right, so the 5 that I would add, I would start with Dick McGuire, 2-time All-Star, kind of late 50s coming into the early 60s. And again, not only was he a player, he was one of those former players who became a coach of the team. That's my number one. My number two would be Walter Dukes, big man, 7-footer back in the day. Again, kind of getting back to the newer, but after the Fort Wayne Pistons, the move to Detroit, averaging 10 and 10, and again battling a lot with Wilt Chamberlain, Bill Russell at that time. Happy Hairston, another name from the back in the day, wasn't in Detroit for too long, but super talented player playing with like Dave Bing, Dave Debuscher, and then eventually after that time in Detroit, he went on to the Lakers and eventually very quickly won a championship with Wilt Chamberlain and that team. I always butcher his name. Zelko Rabracha?
Zelko.
Yeah. And this is kind of going back in Basketball Reference too, but he was one of the first foreign players drafted by the Pistons. And so I feel that obviously the league that it is today with superstar players who are coming from overseas, like Giannis, Pascal, Pascal Siakam, Luka Doncic, Jokic, Gobert. You have all these names, and not saying that Rebracho was the one who started it all, because obviously he's not, but in terms of Pistons being one of those first foreign players, I definitely see that he has a lot of influence in kind of going forward and how this league has become more and more international over the years. And then lastly, I'm going to add Brandon Jennings on there. And I know that a lot of people might be a little against that pick, but when I see the time he was with the Pistons, us trading away Brandon Knight, Brandon Knight's back with the team now, but trading away Chris Middleton, who today is Giannis's second in command, who was two-time All-Star with Giannis. And I'm sitting here and I think that that trade that Brandon Jennings was involved in was something that was very influential to the Pistons a couple years ago, kind of leading into where they are now.
It's a good point, because some of these, we have to remember, they're going to be on the list as influential for bad reasons. And I think Brandon Jennings, while he had, you know, a good stretch of time, and Stan Van Gundy had that long winning streak, that really like 20-game stretch where they looked like they might be turning the corner until he tore his Achilles. It looked like Brandon Jennings would be on this list for good reasons at the time. But like you said, losing Chris Middleton in that trade is probably the main reason why he would be on this list. And it can be for bad reasons. Obviously, Darko Milicic is a no-brainer already on this list as one of the 44. And it's obviously mostly because of negative reasons that he's on this list. So I like it. It's a good point that we know from these last 10 years, it's not all good. So I'll go with my five now. And then Austin and I are going to go through the last 10 spots, kind of go through back and forth with players. So again, Austin puts on Dick McGuire, Walter Dukes, Happy Hairston, Zeli Rabracha, and Brandon Jennings for 45 through 49. This is just no ranking, just kind of the spots, and we'll do the seeding next week as far as who gets into what seeds. But my five, and along those same lines of Brandon Jennings, as guys who were on here for probably negative reasons, definitely negative reasons, is a guy who's still on the payroll for another couple months, and that's Josh Smith. Kind of obvious reasons there. The big money contract, the stretching of his contract, and kind of emblematic of a disappointing era where the Pistons zagged when everyone kind of zigged with three big front court players, and obviously that didn't work out. My next one is going to be Arne Kander, the trainer, mostly for good reasons, of course. He was around for the end of the Bad Boys era and the championship with the going to work era as well. Attracted free agents with his medical reasons as well, and just kind of off the cuff and outside of the realm of easy medical science that he was using. Had a great reputation around the league and helped out a lot there. My next guy is Tom Wilson, one of the guys who was kind of the first lieutenant business-wise under Bill Davidson, not really involved in basketball personnel, but the building of the Palace of Auburn Hills, he was a big part of that, was stolen away by the Illich organization, and I got to believe is a big architect, along with Arne Tellem and Tom Gores, in terms of bringing the Pistons into Little Caesars Arena as well. My next one is Corliss Williamson. He was around to kind of helping the rebirth of the Pistons franchise during the Jerry Stackhouse era, won Sixth Man of the Year, and also was around for the first championship as well as a key bench player, not the first championship, the only championship of the going to work era. And Mark Champion, the longtime radio guy, has been doing it for decades, Bad Boys era and the going to work era as well, and a friend of the show. So those are my five. We got five spots left here as we continue with Austin Tripp, listener of the Locked on Pistons podcast, with Matt Shook, the host here. So you got some names to throw out. We got 10 spots to figure out. Who would you kind of throw out there next?
Really quick, to go back to your five. I cannot forget. I cannot believe I forgot Josh Smith on that negative influences, because I 100% agree with that. And then I also really like the Arne Kander. And I remember he came back this season very recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I put on my list,
Mike Adenauer.
Yeah. When I put him on, I could not remember Kander's name, but I'm glad that you were able to bring his name back up and get him on this list. Definitely feel that he should be on here.
Yeah, and we both got Adenauer, so he's a no-brainer as well. So he's in the tournament there too. So who else are you thinking?
Somebody from your list that you didn't just put out, but one of the lists that you shared with me, John Green, and I had to do a little bit of digging on who you meant by that, but one of the fans from Malice in the Palace, and that's one of the memories that I do remember, a little bit more looking back at Pistons history, but I do remember hearing about that back in the day.
Yeah, he's the fan that threw the cup that hit Ron Artest and did some time as well for that. I've been chasing him as a podcast guest since we've been doing the show. Hopefully we'll get on John Green sometime. All Points Bulletin right now. If anyone knows John Green, I want to talk to him here on the Locked On Pistons podcast. But, you know, obviously got the Indiana Pacers season derailed in 2005. At that time, that was the very beginning of the 04-05 season when Pacers were probably the favorites to have that strong, maybe overcome the Pistons, get to the finals. Pistons ended up going to the finals and losing to the San Antonio Spurs in 7 games. I'll concur. We'll throw John Green on there. How about someone from your list that I liked? You talked about some of the players that get a little extra credit for being players and coaches. I'm going to put Gene Shue from your list on there. He played 6 seasons with the Pistons organization. He was with Fort Wayne for 1 year before they made the move to Detroit. He made 5 All-Star teams as a member of the Pistons organization. He led the team in scoring a couple times, him along with Bailey Howell. And then kind of more famously, even though he had a very good playing career, he became a longtime NBA coach as well. Not with the Pistons, but he did go to the finals with Philadelphia and Dr. J, losing to Bill Walton in Portland as well in that one season. So I'm going to go ahead and go back to the old school and put someone from your list on, and that's Gene Shue.
This is kind of a curveball, but one of the lists that I would like to discuss was Bob McAdoo. Now, a lot of people might not know that he played for the Pistons, but back in the day, he was brought in at age 28. Obviously, he had lots of success very early in his career, putting up almost, I think, a little over 30 points per game. But in a variety, for whatever reason, he was brought to Detroit, hopefully to get somewhat close to what he was creating back with Buffalo. But now, there's been a lot of Pistons back in the day, well, even up to through to today, that are brought in with the expectations that they're going to either take us to the next level or be a confident role, be confident contributor to the team, and then just not necessarily living up to the expectations that they were brought in for. So how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a good pick. Like you said, I think he was a former MVP very early on in his career with Buffalo, kind of brought in during the Dick Vitale era, which was a very, very quick era. They were kind of branded at the hip, I believe. I think the Pistons gave up a couple first-round picks to acquire him as well. One full season, 6 games in another. This is late 70s. This is kind of the Cobo Arena days. And Bob McAdoo, again, probably another guy who's on here for negative reasons, because it kind of threw the franchise into a bit of a tailspin because it was a disappointing year plus, and it kind of led to the Isaiah Thomas draft pick a few years later. And then obviously we know what all that led to. So I'll stand up for that. We could throw Bob McAdoo on this list as well. My next nominee is going to be someone from my list that I came up with. And that's just going to be Flip Saunders. I know that he never got over the hump with the Pistons, but the great regular season where they got all 4 of those guys onto the All-Star team, 60 games, and took them deep to the conference finals a couple times as well, following up the great Larry Brown with a couple of good seasons there. Didn't ultimately get to the team back to the over the hump and back to the NBA Finals, but a guy who I remember fondly as a Pistons coach. Had some great regular seasons, some good playoff runs as well. And the late, great Flip Saunders, I'm going to nominate him for one of the spots.
I definitely agree with that, because you look and he won. Not only did he have to try and get the team back to the promised land after Larry Brown after Larry Brown left, I'm looking at Basketball Reference right now, 3 years in a row losing in the Eastern Conference Finals, first to the Heat and then the next 2 to Cleveland and Boston. And if we were making a list of people not necessarily affiliated with the Pistons, I would put LeBron on there as someone who was just always a trouble for the Pistons going forward. But in terms of Flip Saunders, I definitely agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. So let's get Flip on there. We've got 6 spots left. Who else you got to nominate?
I'm going to dive back onto your list, and I'm going to say Allen Iverson.
Yep. Yeah, you go for the negative ones. You got guys out there that kind of didn't fulfill their promise. Obviously, it was, I think, 2 games into the season. Chauncey Billups finds out at the hotel, I believe in Washington, that he gets traded for Allen Iverson, and here comes Joe Dumars, finally getting the guy that he tried to acquire many years before in a 4-team deal from Philadelphia when he was at his peak. But this time he comes over from Denver as one of the more popular players in league history, and certainly did not really work out in a Pistons uniform.
Yeah. Maybe it's just my recency bias, but since I've really been a fan of the Pistons, there's just been a lot of negative. And I think that's probably where I'm kind of biased towards. But definitely like the Allen Iverson, for example, Tracy McGrady at the end of his career, it's just bringing in people not like technically past their prime and just kind of delaying the inevitable full-on rebuild that hopefully the Pistons are kind of going with at this point, rather than they're doing it now, but they could have done it earlier rather than later. But
now, Austin, we've got 5 spots left. Let me throw out a bunch of names here, and for the listeners to kind of know as of these lists we're talking about, just so they kind of know what names we're kind of grappling with at this point. My list, I had guys like Sekou Doumbouya, Rodney Stuckey, Reggie Jackson, Tobias Harris, Mehmet Okur, Otis Thorpe, Jimmy Walker, Ken Calvert, Bison Dele, Doug Collins, Dwayne Casey, Derrick Rose, Jason Maxiel. A couple other names out there might be Stanley Johnson and Christian Wood, if you want to be optimistic going forward. Austin had some old names from the past. Ray Scott, a former coach and player for the Pistons. John Long, Detroit native. Chucky Atkins, who helped kind of usher the post-Grant Hill era, came back late in his career as well. Terry Distinger, who was a guy who coached a couple games for the Pistons and played 7 seasons as well at a pretty high level. Theo Ratliff, a former All-Star for Philly, who played 2.5 solid seasons for the Pistons and then came back and was actually on the team in 2008, which I forgot. He actually played in the last Pistons playoff win in 2008 against the Boston Celtics. Terry Tyler, Ben Gordon, William Bedford, Donnie Butcher, Scott Hastings, John Barry, and Earl Cureton are all kind of names we're throwing out there. So of all those names, or maybe someone that I didn't mention just now, Austin, you got someone else to throw out there?
Kind of going on your list, I'll be optimistic. I wouldn't mind putting Sekou on there just because he's our future as it stands right now. Him and Christian Wood are those two guys. You can throw Luke Kennard, hopefully Bruce Brown in there as well. But these are the guys that we're going to hope to see develop in Dwayne Casey's system, or possibly, who knows, somebody else's system in the future, coaching-wise. But, man, like, I hope the future is bright. You just never know. The second I get my hopes up, I feel like every time something bad happens, whether it's to the player's fault or not, just something happens, and it's like we're in this never-ending cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I like it. I like that you have finally had some optimism with your pick. So there. Next one, I'm going off of your list. I'm going to put this guy up there, and let me know if you agree. It's Ray Scott. And again, I'm giving Michael Curry's on our no-brainer list as being kind of a guy who played and coached with the Pistons. This is a guy who had solid playing stint and a solid coaching stint for the Pistons. We kind of think back, and again, it's nice because you can be a little bit younger and still have a lot of grasp of Pistons history, because the best Pistons history is basically the last 30 years. And going back before that isn't all that good, a couple of good Fort Wayne seasons at the end. But Ray Scott, 5.5 seasons with the Pistons as a player, was the 4th pick in the 1961 draft. He spent 4 seasons as coach of the Pistons, and one of those years was a 52-win season in 1973-74. So it's just of that kind of tough 1970s that weren't very good. That was kind of a beacon of a season there. And so Ray Scott gets some credit for a solid playing and coaching career with the Detroit Pistons, and I'm going to put him on this list.
Yeah, I totally agree. When I was making my list, as I started to find more of the players for the Pistons who also then became coaches for the Pistons, it's like I think about who is contributing to the overall development of the team. And not only can you do that as a coach, but these guys are taking it to that next level and doing it as the coach. And so I find that very interesting. And that's why you have a couple people that I put on my list, including Ray Scott, as one of those guys who was very influential to the development of the Pistons organization.
Sounds good. How about going back to my list here? I'm going to go with one that could be kind of construed as a positive and a negative, kind of depending on maybe your mood, and that is Jimmy Walker. He was one of two players that has ever been picked first overall by the Pistons in the draft, Bob Lanier being the other one. He played with the Pistons with his first five seasons in the NBA, a two-time All-Star, and just a solid player, but again, didn't really fulfill his expectations with the Pistons, but still had a couple All-Star seasons. Really kind of reminds me like of a kind of a Stackhouse level of a player where was good, but didn't maybe live up to all of the promise that you wanted. And probably his most famous contribution to maybe at least contemporary NBA was he's the father of Jalen Rose, which is something that maybe time has forgotten a little bit and wasn't involved in Jalen's life. But kind of famously, if you know Jalen Rose's story, was kind of a figure. Although he wasn't around, he was kind of a motivating figure in Jalen Rose's life. Famous Detroiter and big Michigan basketball presence there. So this is the point. We're at the very end. We've got two more spots after this one. Do you want to argue Jimmy Walker for somebody else, or are you good with that one?
Again, I left him off of my list, but after doing more research and hearing your description, I can't argue that. I very much agree with that.
Okay, we got two spots left. Got to get into some kind of fisticuffs at some point. But you got another. You got a nominee here for one of those two spots.
Well, if we're gonna give praise to George Blaha, I think we have to also give it back to the man Greg Kessler.
Yeah.
Player back in the day, but but now longtime commentator for the Pistons, working with George, and I have a feeling I'll know no fisticuffs with this one yet, but I feel like you're probably on the same page with me on that.
Yeah, absolutely. Greg has been, he's from Detroit, obviously. Michigan State won the 79 championship, a high draft pick for the Pistons as well. Was there with the team when Isaiah Thomas was drafted and kind of, was a young, talented player with that group, ended up having some knee problems, moved away from the Pistons and didn't have all that much of a great career playing wise, but just being one of those guys in the early 80s. And then, like you said, probably more importantly, being someone that night in and night out alongside George is a Special K, doing the job for us and obviously a likable guy and a proud Detroiter. So I'll second that one. Now, this is tough. I'm looking at these lists. I'm trying to think of and maybe nominate someone for the last spot. Looking at Dwayne Casey, if you want to be maybe optimistic about what he's doing with this team right now. Derrick Rose making a big impact, but it's just been one season so far, not much of a future. Doug Collins did have a really good season as a coach of the Pistons, 50 wins there. Bison Daley, just a strange career, two seasons with the Pistons, and then mysteriously died at sea 3 years later. John Long, I'm a U of D guy, so I'm a little bit biased to the Titans. He is 10th all-time in career points for Pistons. And then he's the uncle of Grant Long and Terry Mills. So, you know, his familial legacy also kind of lives on as well. Chucky Atkins is a name that jumps out. Theo Ratliff, the two. But as I kind of work this out in my head, I'm going to nominate, and feel free, Rodney Stuckey's out there too, as a guy who they tried to bridge the going to work era with whatever would come next. Obviously, disappointingly so. Reggie Jackson, another one along those same lines. I'm going to throw out John Long. Because, like I said, 10th all-time in career points, kind of right before the Bad Boys era, did win, I believe, one championship with the Pistons. And U of D, Detroit guy, being the uncle of Grant Long and Terry Mills as well, kind of helps him in this type of exercise. Did another name stand out to you of those names I talked about other than John Long, or are you with me there?
I like the John Long. I also think we have a good mix of the old, the kind of the middle, the beginning, and a little bit of the end. The Dwayne Casey name is interesting, and that's, I've been thinking about that after, I personally didn't have it on my list, but I've been thinking about it since I had it on yours. And after his, I assume the NBA, there's a possibility we might not have the opportunity to return for the rest of the season, but after two seasons, I feel like for a long time in a while, we have somewhat of a direction in where we're going. And I feel that going forward, seeing what he, I feel like the big thing with Dwayne Casey as a coach, I think we just need to give him a little bit of, little bit more time to see what he's got planned in the development. He came with the, he came from the Raptors, and you know that their G League team and their system developed some really nice players and role players, which again led them to taking that next step by signing Kawhi Leonard and winning their first NBA championship. And obviously that's the dream scenario that would probably, that could happen in Detroit, but you got to give it time to see where he can take our organization. And so maybe I would nominate Dwayne Casey on the fact that there is a possibility of future influence in the, in Detroit, not necessarily from what we've seen so far, but from his history as a coach and the possibility of what he could do with the Pistons organization in the future might get a nomination from me for the last spot.
Okay. Dwayne Casey and John Long is what it kind of comes down to. I'm going to maybe throw this up on Twitter and we'll see the results over the weekend and into Monday's show. Dwayne Casey or John Long, two good nominees. Or if, you know, the other thing is maybe Austin and I put some time into this, but it's very possible that we have like overlooked some big names that are out there. So if you've heard, or if you're screaming at the phone right now thinking, you know, these guys totally forgot such and such, you know, we'll reserve the right to maybe bump off one of these guys if it comes to fruition. But for right now, I'm going to side with Austin. We'll put Dwayne Casey on. I'll reserve the right to change my mind over the weekend and maybe bump off Dwayne for John Long. But Austin, I want to thank you so much for doing this. We'll come back next week with another guest to help us out. We'll do the seeding of the 64 guys that make this list. No women, by the way. I guess Karen Davidson might be the one that you might consider. And maybe there are some other women out there that I can't think of. But Austin, do you have something you want to plug? And by that, I mean, if you got a Twitter handle that people should follow you on, or do you have maybe a business out there that people should be trying to help out during these times? I want to give you a couple seconds here to kind of, or a charity that you think people should be thinking about donating during this coronavirus issue that we're having. Is there something out there that you'd like to reach the listeners with a little bit of time here on Locked On Pistons?
Yeah, absolutely. If you're interested, you can follow me on Twitter at always underscore trippin, ALWAYS_TRIPPIN. If you are interested, you should check out my jazz group's Facebook page known as Vehicle City Swing. We are a small jazz combo that performs in the greater Flint and Genesee County, and we perform a variety of jazz around at a variety of events. And if you ever need some live music from some professional musicians, please take a look at Vehicle City Swing. You can find us on Facebook.
Thanks again to Austin Tripp for joining us and taking a trip through memory lane for Detroit Pistons fans. See, I'm not the only last name that you can make puns about. Appreciate Austin coming to help out and give his jazz group a like on Facebook as well. And check them out if you're in the Flint area and want to see some good jazz from some young guys as well. But that'll do it for the Locked On Pistons podcast. We'll be talking about the Portland Trailblazers 1990 NBA Finals Game 5 next week. So your homework assignment is to watch that game over the weekend, and we're going to be reacting to that with a special guest from the Pacific Northwest as well. Now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Rejecting the Screen. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.